Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
The interview you are about to listen to is given by Mr. Michael Whitehouse, who has a podcast entitled A Guy Who Knows a Guy. Mr. Whitehouse's podcast usually interviews entrepreneurs, small business people, those with motivational or inspirational type books and messages, a variety of people involved in very much freelancing, small business, entrepreneurship. He thought he would give me an opportunity to add something a little bit different to his show, and he wanted me to talk about my paranormal experiences. So you will hear on this show the same old questions that most of the interviewers are asking me and the same stories that go along with them. However, usually on each show, there might be a question or two where I am bringing up something else or another aspect to the story or something that just adds a little bit more character and flavor to it as compared to other shows where I'm currently being interviewed. Anyway, this show had opened up my thinking a little bit more to the idea of what exactly is paranormal, what is extraterrestrial, and what is quote-unquote normal. Well, at the end of this show, we're going to have that discussion. So, as they say, enjoy the show. Hope you like it. I thought it turned out pretty good. And, of course, stay tuned.
Welcome to the Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast. I am your host, Michael Whitehouse, and today we have a very interesting guest. Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz is no stranger to encountering paranormal, unexplained extraterrestrial phenomena. Known as an experiencer, she has more than 100 paranormal and 3 to 4 perceived extraterrestrial encounters since the age of 9, situations that bring many questions. An open-minded, sensitive, intuitive empath, Dr. Schutz was thrust into paranormal discovery by her mid-30s, becoming a student of controversial and unexplained observations, and she has unlimited stories. Kelly feels the reason the unexplained is attracted to her is because of her high frequency and ability to openly communicate. She also has clairaudient and telepathic powers. Dr. Schutz, a Minnesota native, hosts and produces a highly ranked show called Paranormal Encounters podcast series heard on various platforms. So, Dr. Schutz, am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, that is correct, Michael.
Okay, great. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to learn more about your story and all this, because you're a little different from our typical guests, so I think it'd be an interesting experience to learn more about your story and what this is all about. So tell me, just give us a little bit about, go beyond the bio there and tell us a little about yourself.
Well, let's see. Right now I am currently retired, and before retirement I was a college professor. Also, I worked in the law field as a paralegal and with doing some undercover work. And also, I am an artist and a photographer and also a cookbook author and an author of 10 paranormal books going on number 11. So that's just a little tiny bit of me. I do a lot, Michael, in my life. And so that's just the start of it. But what I have done, and I didn't realize this at the time, is that a lot of the skills that I developed over my careers have really helped me in investigation work and also understanding what I'm now into, which is the paranormal and also extraterrestrial visitations.
Interesting. Okay. And so what led you to that? That is a unique field of endeavor. So what led you there?
Well, I kind of fell into it when I was age 9. I was having experiences at the age of 9, but I didn't think that they were paranormal at first. Grandparents' house, stayed over after school. They were running errands most of the time. I started feeling a little bit uneasy in this house and just always having issues with high anxiety and stress and stomach aches and you name it. Well, long story short, after being there numerous times, I started turning the television up. I would turn the lights on. I would sing out loud. But what really was the kicker for me was when I was sleeping on the couch one day and I heard a bunch of chatter going on in the kitchen. And I thought, well, how did they get home without me knowing about it? Well, as I walked to the kitchen and stood in the doorway, it was absolutely dead silent. There was not a peep anywhere in that house. And I just had a feeling at that point that I wasn't in that house alone. And all that chattering sounded like a little gathering, you know, how people get all excited and they want to chatter. Well, that's exactly how it sounded at the point, though, when I entered or stood at that doorway. But I need to fast forward a little bit on this. When I was in my 30s, I decided my grandparents had both passed and we were supposed to go look at some stuff in their house. And I decided I was going to face my fear. So I, in my 30s, went into that house alone. And if you can imagine, just for a moment, walking up a stairwell, and at the top, there's a draft curtain that goes across the doorway, like when you get to the very top. And if that's not creepy enough the way it is, you're already setting the scene for imaginary stuff. Well, I went into the pink room. I survived going through the curtain. And when I went into the pink room, I didn't smell anything in there at first. I smelled nothing. I went and I sat down. I was looking at a box. And then all of a sudden, something started smelling pretty bad, like kind of a really strong sulfuric, deceased smell. And I thought, where is this coming from? I didn't smell it when it came in here. As I went over to the window, I was trying to look for like a dead mouse or something. I noticed that the curtain was singed at the bottom, and it looked like a fire had started. Now, keep in mind, it was above a an outlet. And of course, the house was hit by an electrical storm a couple days before. So obviously, put two and two together, that makes sense. But it was as if something tried to put that fire out. Otherwise, that place would have just probably gone up in flames. Anyway, I felt disoriented. I felt dizzy. I had headaches. I did not feel well. I felt something was jabbing me in the stomach. And I knew that I was being under attack by something. I took off running, ran down the stairs, more like leaped five at a time down the stairs, and headed out that, went out the house and never returned. But I would say that if you combine those two, that was the start of my paranormal journey. But that gives you kind of an idea as to sometimes when you think it's all in your imagination, it sometimes is not. So...
Okay, and so how did you know that that was actually a paranormal event, not just you know your own anxiety at being back in that house?
Well, I've asked myself that a number of times. I think what confirmed this a little bit more for me and my family was when some of the items of theirs were set out in the house, and we had to go back in. We had to go back in, obviously, to look at all of their things. And I don't know how to give you a real good descriptive of this, but what really validated that even more was I was looking on a table, and keep in mind there was no vibrational issue going on, nothing going by, no one's stepping on the floor really hard and all that. And as creepy as this sounds, there was a jar with our baby teeth. Now, I know that sounds a little odd, but for some reason they kept them. And it was just sitting very, with stabilization, by the way, it was sitting there. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what it was, but the jar, it was a small jar, just jumped out in front of me and startled me. And at the point that did that, a music box went off in the room next door. And I don't know. I mean, a person can say it's their imagination or maybe they're just highly anxious as a person. But when you start putting all kinds of things together, it just kind of adds up. Now, I need to also add one more thing, though. After that moment when I tore down the steps, I did ask my mother. I said, "What is the history of this house?" I said, "There's something... It's either a bad gas leak in this house because I got really physically sick or something is obviously not right here." I did find in the paper that back in the 1800s, the previous owner, it was a woman, lived in that house and there was a fire in the kitchen. And apparently she perished in the house in that fire. Now, I don't know if that was the woman upstairs. I don't know if something else was up there, but I do know one thing, that whatever it was did not want me there. And that was just inner tuition jumping in at that point. So,
okay. So that'll certainly get you started in that path. And where did that lead you?
Well, when I was age 14, I need to jump in on this too, on my dad's side. His grandfather, my great-grandfather, built an extremely beautiful house out in the country, and we rarely visited because of the distance. And so when I was on that property at the age of 14, I used to say, and I walk around, you know, as a farmstead, and I said, geez, I really wish I could, this is a kind of a creepy property. And I thought, I wish I could see a ghost. I mean, everyone else is talking about how they've seen a ghost, and this is the right property to have a ghost. And so I was kind of looking around thinking I was going to see something visual. Well, let's move that a little forward to 2007. I was in my younger 40s, and guess what? A tornado had hit the property the day before, so you could feel the electricity in the air, and you could also sense something was just a little bit different. The one thing that I noticed being there was how dead silent it sounded, and it reminded me of being in my grandparents' house, my mother's parents' house. Well, anyway, I was meandering around the property. I was shooting photographs, and sure enough, in one of my photographs, in a screened window, not a glass plate window, but a screened window, I captured something and realized this when I went to have my film developed. And film negatives do not lie. There is no way I could tamper with this negative. But anyway, thanks to technology, I was able to blow up the picture on my computer, and I saw in this window, very clear as night and day, a young girl staring at me, smiling. She's about age 6, and a older man. He looked to be in his later, maybe 60s, early 70s, and he looked at me, looked kind of puzzled. And so I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I actually saw a ghost, or ghosts, two of them, on this property. So I went back to this house a few days later, and I stood on the grass and stared at the window. And I wanted them to show themselves again, and I was taking numerous pictures, but they just appeared at that time, of course. And I asked the question, you appeared to me, what did you need, or what did you want, or what message do you have for me? And this is when I started to realize that I was telepathic, and which is the ability to hear messages from the unseen, by the way. And clairaudient, which is what happened to me in my mother's parents' house. And the message that was given to me was, check the genealogy. And I just kind of stood there and I thought, check the genealogy. Okay, now I am the genealogist in the family. And so I did. And what I discovered was, under the young gal's image, which I matched up to an image I had mislabeled her name, and spot on correct. And I thought, I never would have thought of that on my own, but that was the message that I could hear that was being given to me. So that is what exploded at that point, my ability or my interest in going and to other haunted locations to try to see if something in these locations could speak to me, talk to me, show me. And I've had, from that point till now, about 100 different experiences.
So you would actually seek out haunted locations to have experiences like that?
Yep, and they would now, after my most devastating and traumatic one, though, which happened just a couple years ago, I swore off ghosts for a while, and I said, I'm never going to seek you out again. They come to me, and I don't even have to seek them out anymore. I just know when I go into a haunted building, I just know that if it is haunted or something's lurking about, I know it's going to come to me. There's going to be something that indicates something to me that we're not alone. And so it's a combination of both now, but I have had traumatic experiences. It's not something you take lightly as an investigator. It's something you really have to be on your game about.
Okay. Now, do you want to share a bit about what those traumatic experiences were?
Yeah, sure. No problem. So my husband and I do a lot of traveling. We went over to England. Actually, I think we were in Wales at the time, and the bed and breakfast that was 900 years old in this town, I cannot recall the town's name, but it was the Prince Rupert Hotel. And this is a haunted hotel, which knowingly has over 12 different aged apparitions floating around there at all times. Well, to make a long story short, I wanted to stay in the most haunted room because I wanted to write a chapter, which, by the way, I have, lots of pictures too, on my experience in this hotel. And they refused to let me stay in the most haunted room. And I said, why not? Because the people that go in there, they said, get in there and they stay in there about 20 minutes and then they either want a refund or they're sleeping on the couch downstairs all night. And so we've decided to that the only people that they would allow to go in the most haunted room were those who were most skeptical, big skeptics of the paranormal, because they figured they wouldn't be looking for anything in there. So they stuck me in the second most haunted room. I think it was called the Prince Rupert room. And there was a long Victorian floor-length mirror. When we entered the room, by the way, we had to ask permission to come into the room. It's not like you could just go into your room. And on our way there, I walked through what was we call like an electrical cobweb, which was just absolutely amazing. And as that happened, I did see out of the corner of my eye the maid, who I do have a picture of her in the book, by the way, half her face as she was rushing around a corner. But putting that aside for now, we go and we enter into this room. It felt dreadful. It felt sick. I thought to myself, what am I doing? I must be crazy wanting to come into the second most haunted room. Anyway, fast forward, we were down at dinner. They came to ask us for our key. The ghost in that room would not let the maintenance guy into the room because there was a light bulb that was out in one of the lamps, and I wanted to keep the lights on all night. Wouldn't let him in there, so they needed our key. My husband said, oh, this is probably just some kind of a, you know, hype to get you all nervous about that room. I said, no, I don't think so. And so when we went back in there, I did everything to be as polite as possible. I offered my bottle of champagne we had. I offered chocolates to this thing. But what happened was just before bed, my husband threw the holy water. And as he threw the holy water, the mirror that was directly in front of me, which had enough room, by the way, behind it, went kind of like with its shoulders, na, 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 and then it started cycling around. Now, the thing is people would say, oh, that's probably just some kind of a carnival trick to scare you. Nope, no carnival trick. It actually was swiveling around. My husband froze in place momentarily. I went into an extreme panic attack. I could hardly believe what I saw. I put on this, I was so freaked out. I asked him if he saw it, and he said, I didn't see it because he had a time lapse there, but he did see the positioning of the mirror, that it was in a different placement. And this mirror, by the way, not to scare any of your listeners here, but anything that's apparitional, perhaps a light being or anomalies that fly through your home, which you aren't aware of, they love to go in and out of mirrors. And so anyway, I laid there all night in bed, freaked out, panic attack, had a mask over my face, was begging for my life, please don't hurt me. The thing was hovered over me. It was a cold mass. The wardrobe was open in the morning, and I couldn't get out of that room fast enough. Oh, and by the way, as a nice little goodnight cap, its handprints were all over the pillows. Now, someone would say, well, the maintenance guy was in there, right? He probably accidentally put his hands on those pillows. I addressed that to the manager, and she assured me there is no way that his handprints were on that pillow. This thing sat on my legs, and so I might have been in its spot for where it wanted to lie down, but bottom line is the next morning, the manager brought me back up there, which, of course, I didn't want to go back up there. She had a discussion with me about the mirror. Apparently, when the maid goes in there and starts vacuuming the floor, every time she bends over by that mirror, it lifts the bottom of its mirror up, and it likes to hit her in the butt. So, you know, she was asking me what to do about it. I said, position the mirror against the wall where it can't move, tie the thing together so it can't get out of it, whatever you can do, or just remove the mirror entirely. So anyway, that was traumatic. I swore off ghosts after that. I said I will never do this again, but boy, I got a good chapter in my book.
Wow, that is quite a story. And so you mentioned, we were talking before, about in addition to these paranormal spiritual encounters, some perceived extraterrestrial encounters.
Yeah. So the question that we need to ask now, really, is how can you tell if it's paranormal and how can you tell if it's extraterrestrial? And just a very short story on how I've had what I believe are three encounters now with something extraterrestrial, but I'll give you the most, the one that's in my book and that you can actually see, and the other ones I have to tell about. But there was one night when I was at home here, and my husband and I were going to bed, and I just had smelled this really strong smell that came over me, and I thought, what on earth? And I thought it was my husband's shampoo, and I thought, I'm going to have to say something to him tomorrow because that stuff is just gagging. Okay, so the next morning, I put my covers over my nose, by the way, it was so bad. I didn't think it was anything paranormal at the time. I really wasn't thinking. I don't really look for this stuff, and I really don't focus on it like most people think I might. No, I don't. It's just when it happens, I talk about it. Anyway, the next morning, I went into the restroom, the bathroom, and as I was looking in the mirror, there was a blood red handprint that was on the front side of my chest. And I have pictures of this in the book, by the way. And this handprint was, the fingers were elongated. It had a crooked finger. It stayed on my body for over 3 hours before it finally just disappeared. And there's nobody that could give me an explanation to this. I looked up some research on it, and there's like 900 to 1,000 people, including babies, that find handprints on their face, their back, their thighs, their bodies, their hips, everywhere on their body, but no one can, they can't figure out where this stuff is coming from or what has happened here. For me, that felt a little bit extraterrestrial because the handprint, by the way, that matches what was on my body was also on my dusty dresser, and including the crooked finger. So I really should name that chapter Crooked Finger, but anyway, there are things out there that we just don't know and we can't put our finger on, even if it's crooked. But the bottom line is this. How do you know if it's paranormal and how do you know if it's extraterrestrial? So I'm in search of that question as we speak.
Okay. And do you have any speculations on that question?
No. No. In fact, at the UFO conference that I am a featured speaker that was to be in Las Vegas in March at a UFO mega conference. They had to postpone it till 2023 due to mask mandates. So they're at this conference, there are scientists, researchers, experiencers, people that actually connect with supposedly these ETs from wherever. And I wanted to pose that question to someone there that might have been more involved in this phenomena than myself. I'm an experiencer. I wouldn't call myself a scientist or a researcher, but at this conference, I hope it goes in 2023. I will be a featured workshop speaker there talking about my experiences. I do want to ask somebody there what their theories are, their ideas are about all this.
Okay. And so what makes you think that some of these phenomena might have been extraterrestrial?
Well, I will give you, and I'll give you another little tiny bit of a story here. So the very first one that I had was in a Las Vegas room on the 60th floor of a very fancy hotel. I was there by myself. I usually write my books in Las Vegas. For some reason, I just connect really well there and doing this stuff. And one night, I thought I had something paranormal in my room. I'm used to this, so lights were flickering, tapping behind my head, which, by the way, behind my head was my bathroom. And I just said, please leave me alone. I just need to go to sleep tonight. And I tried to fall asleep. Long story short, in the morning, I felt really different. I felt really strange. I felt odd. I felt cleansed. I felt like I was really refreshed. I never wake up feeling the way I felt in that room. Anyway, fast forward. I talked with a UFO experiencer, someone who's very much into this stuff, who's also psychic. And she looked at me during our discussion and she said to me, something happened to you a few years ago. And of course, keep in mind at the time, I wasn't thinking about this situation. Something was checking your blood. And I said, well, that's really odd that you say that to me. I said, actually, I had an experience and I did feel very different the next morning when I woke up. But a month after that discussion, or after that incident, I should say, in the hotel room, I was diagnosed with cancer. And so there are extraterrestrial beings out there. There's about 57 to 100 different kinds, according to some of the experts that I've talked with, of different types of extraterrestrial beings, forces. They're not all little grays, and they're not all little green men, and they're not all this and that. There's various types of these things. And I also had, by the way, to throw this nugget into it, I did go to another conference in Las Vegas a few years ago. There was an expert up there who talked a lot about ufology or UFO, you know, and contacts. And I stood up and I said, here are the things that are happening to me. I said, is this paranormal or is this something else? And he looked right at me and he said, Kelly, how do you not know that you were abducted a long time ago? They erased your memory. And you, what you're describing is exactly who I talk with on a daily basis about people who have been actually abducted by these extraterrestrial forces. And I will be quite honest with you. I didn't believe in aliens up until that comment, but he had me so dumbfounded that I just stood there in absolute disbelief just because of, I have many, many experiences, but from what I was describing to him, he was pretty certain I have been abducted at some point and just my memory erased about it because I have abilities that are a little bit uncommon to most people, and it sounds like something he's familiar with. So I did go get a past life regression, though, done on me. If you wanted, some people are brought back to their experiences. This one was inconclusive. He couldn't bring me back to that point. So it's inconclusive. I don't know. I guess right now I'm always on the fence about it, but I have things that are happening that I just can't seem to explain. So.
So is there a certain point when those abilities began that you would pinpoint as when that abduction would have occurred?
I can't pinpoint when the abduction occurred because I may have had these things going on and passing them off as coincidence for a very long time. But things started to strengthen in me when I went into Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum in Las Vegas and had an experience in there, but I believe that was more paranormal than extraterrestrial. But at that point, I'll give you an example of things that were happening that this expert was kind of going, huh, interesting. I could approach many elevator doors, for an example, and they would just naturally open for me. Now, some people would say, oh, someone pressed the button, it was coming down, or some, you know, this and that, or it was meant to come down and open up. No, this is a little bit more odd than that, and very coincidental. And usually I'd say to people when I'm walking to an elevator, nah, don't bother touching anything. It'll open up. And it, there's just something inside of me that has an effect on doors opening with elevators. And there's just all kinds of things. But going back to Zach Bagan's haunted museum for a moment, when I left his museum, and I had been under attack in there, went into a trance for about 5 minutes, shut production down, scared everybody. When I left there, though, I started winning numerous jackpots. Up until this past December, I had won 13 in the last 3 to 4 years. Well, this past December, when I was in Vegas, I won 3, or could have been 4, but 3 more. So now I'm at 16 jackpots now in the last 4 years, which the IRS loves me, by the way. But I'm telling you, there is something that ignited inside of me that I can't explain. So whether this is because of an abduction situation that triggered something in me, whether there is just something inside of me that became awakened, I cannot tell you. All I know is that this stuff is still happening. That's all I know.
Wow, that is quite a story. And definitely a lot of mysteries there.
Yep, so if you ever want to come to Las Vegas with me and win some money, feel free.
That does sound like fun.
Yeah.
So people want to learn more about you. Where would they go to do that?
Sure. So go to my website. I have 10 books on there. Currently writing number 11. That one's not going to be done for a good year. But www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. And on there, you're going to see a couple things. My book covers that I have on Amazon. And then in the upper right-hand corner, you will see a tab called Podomatic. Click on that, and that'll bring you right into my podcast site. And you can listen to interviews of guests that I've had. You'll listen to me blab or whatever. But I've got all kinds of stuff. I'm getting close to 100 now. So we're rounding the corner. And if you want to go to my Facebook page and subscribe that way or just follow, it's just search under the Dr. Kelly Schutz, DrKellySchutz, or go and type in Paranormal Encounters podcast series, and that'll bring you to my Facebook page.
All right. And so this has been great learning about all this for you. Is there anything that I haven't answered or haven't asked that you would like to bring up before we run out of time?
No, I guess the question that always remains on believers' minds is, what exactly are we encountering out here? On a skeptic's mind, it's always going to be that's can be passed off as something else. And I guess just to leave your listeners with just a thought, is it truly paranormal or is it extraterrestrial? And that is the question that we're all trying to run after as we speak today. So thanks, Michael.
All right. Thank you.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Demons, vampires, werewolves, skinwalkers, all of this and more, Sunday nights at midnight, on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. Well, I think that this is an okay spot to run this segment. I wanted to get through this interview first because a lot of times what most people, unless you've been interviewed, know is that there's usually a lot of chatter that goes on with the interviewer to the interviewee before and after the show. And in this particular case, my flag went up because I thought after the show, did I really just possibly present this topic to someone that might not be a believer? And so I was having a discussion with my husband about this, and I thought, well, if anything, I'm grateful. I'm always grateful, by the way, when someone shows something to me or brings something up that will help me in my future discussions. And so I'm very grateful to the interviewer for, first of all, having me on his show. It was quite a stretch for this gentleman to have me on his show. He deals with business people. That's what is all what his show is all about. And then all of a sudden you sneak in somebody who just wants to tell their paranormal story. But he was very kind and thought he would take the risk and put me on his lineup. So anyway, I'll have to listen to that. I'm not quite sure if he's going to run this sooner rather than later, but I'm going to take note to see where he placed me in his lineup on his interesting entrepreneurial show. The other thing that you might get an opportunity for here, since I'm posting this sooner rather than later, is, of course, if I don't look like I've been run over by a truck, I am going to be on his Power Lunch Live show along with a couple other individuals where we are going to just discuss various topics. Now, I don't know if they're going to get to my topic. My topic might be a little bit too scary, but regardless, I'm on the schedule for January 28th. It's called Power Lunch Live with Michael Whitehouse, and I will be on a live panel, and we will be talking about each other's topics, and the topics that day will be about, first I'm going to bring up extraterrestrial visitations. That's my topic. There's going to be a martial arts guy who's going to talk about spiritual awakening. And I figured, well, that's pretty close to what I probably am doing here. It'll be interesting to see how he provides his own spin on that. There'll be someone, I believe, talking about leadership skills. And there's going to be another individual talking about, let's see if I can see quickly, something to do with small business, but I can't recall offhand what it is. Anyway, I don't know where I'll be in the lineup. And again, I'm not sure they'll even let me talk, but I'm going to be there. Right now, I think we need to switch gears. And he kind of brought me into a world that I might have to get ready for. At the point that we hope this UFO mega conference goes in 2023. So for those individuals that have been interviewing me, there have been some questions that come up that actually border the thought of, should you be asking me that? And it's a good practice for me, actually, to try to answer some of these tough questions while standing my ground and being very cordial about other types of questions that may actually help me at this conference. So for that, again, I'm grateful. The one thought that he talked about after the show with me, not to a large degree, but to a degree that made me sit up and take notice, was when I say, how do we not know what we're experiencing is paranormal or extraterrestrial? He threw in the idea of, well, how do you not know that what you're not experiencing is paranormal or just simply normal? And I sat there for a moment and I thought about that. And of course, with my investigative / legal background, the very first thing that we would say to somebody is, well, let's go ahead and let's first define what each of these terms are, okay? And I'd like to start with the term normal. So I looked up in the dictionary or online and I said, give me a definition of normal, okay? And this is what I found. Someone who fits the mainstream. Oh, okay. So does that mean that someone who's a little bit alternative and doesn't fit the mainstream is not normal? All right. I guess right now I would say I'm pretty mainstream, but I jump out and jump back in when I feel like it. Let's start there. And I don't believe that there's a class of standard, quote-unquote, normal people on this planet. We're all unique in our own way. We all have our differences. We all have experiences. We all have environmental experiences. We all have different upbringings. And so to tell a person or to write a definition, someone who fits the mainstream, for example, in a country, their mainstream would be set by maybe some of the standards and rules and social norms that they try to follow. That's what I think this is meaning. Also, it talks about roles. Yeah, the norms and the roles that we play. Well, yeah, maybe, but not so much lately. It seems like there's been an explosion of varying type of roles that we play. Another part of the explanation of the definition of normal would be expected, usual, and typical. Okay, a regular pattern or a standard pattern. Now, if you want to associate that with someone who understands human behavior, I would say that all of this is shaped by our societal norms and rules, where people kind of just fall in line and we do as we're supposed to do, and we get along just much better that way. Or at least that's what it seems to be. But lately, again, I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing kind of an uprising of certain behaviors about not wanting to have to follow the standard, the norms, the social norm rules. They want to be more like themselves and all that. But then you have to understand that if you take yourself and you're very different from the next person and you put yourself in front of somebody, don't expect to be accepted by people who have conditioned themselves to follow these norms for a long time to accept you for who you are. So let's flip this now to the paranormal. So when we were having this discussion, this gentleman and I, I'm very grateful to him for kind of putting me on the red alert platform, because it's very true. Those who have ever had a knowing experience, and I say a knowing because sometimes people are having experiences, but they don't pay attention, they're distracted, they're focused on other things, they think it's part of the show. For example, the magic shows that I was in, not in, but attended, and then I was in a magic show within the last year in Las Vegas. This gentleman that who ran the show, his son, who took the time to talk to me about some of this stuff, he said, there are things going on that the audience thinks is part of the show, but it's not part of the show. And so they just don't call attention to it. They don't want to panic people. They don't want people to go into fear. They want people to come to their show. They don't want them to run from their show. And so there's a lot of sweeping it under the carpet kind of thing that goes on when it involves something unusual that may not have been planned, okay? And so getting back into the paranormal, the thought, of course, was, well, when something happens, how do you know it's truly paranormal or extraterrestrial or just a matter of environmental conditions or something that is happening, you know, in your house, around your house, by your house, or caused by another natural situation that is being blamed on being something paranormal? Well, I have the answer for this. We don't. That's what the paranormal is all about. Unexplained, not usual, not expected, not typical. If you put not in front of normal, that's what paranormal is. My question lately has been, is it paranormal or is it extraterrestrial? Now, keep in mind, I have had some experiences here that at first I tried to pass off as paranormal, but then all of a sudden I'm starting to rethink these situations. Maybe they're not paranormal. Maybe they're extraterrestrial. And how does one know? We don't. So when I go to this conference, and hopefully it's all going to still go, all systems go, and it'll be better than ever before. And this year was just a blessing in disguise. And like I said, I put in my request to be a speaker and a workshop speaker. After all, I've got more than 100 gift bags that I'm giving out. So, you know, come. And when I announce this, think about it. Come see me. Get an extra gift bag. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the extraterrestrial and what might make that a little bit different than the paranormal. So with these flying self-propelled orbs that love to go in and out of mirrors, and they fly around my rooms, and it's obvious that it's not dust, and it's obvious because they're very intelligent and they're very exact in their movements. They know what they're doing, in other words. I've seen a lot of this now in the last few months because I'm paying attention to it, but I would guess that this stuff is in everybody's homes. Not to panic you, they haven't done anything to me. It's kind of like they're passing through or passing by or taking a good look and then they keep going. I have objections though when they want to visit me in the bathroom. Now, keep in mind that the paranormal likes to hide out in the bathroom, but you know what? Maybe it's not paranormal. Maybe it's extraterrestrial that's hiding out in the bathroom. I don't know. That's the question that's going to be posed here. How can you tell the difference? How can you tell the difference between what is spiritual visitation, something extraterrestrial visitation, or, yes, there's also gases that are released and EMF that you can pick up in the environment, and you can pick up all kinds of residual things sometimes. And people ask that question, well, what about that? And the question is, yeah, what about that? I don't disagree that it could be that, okay? However, when it gets complicated, when you can't catch this stuff, when you literally can't study it, when you see it, but you can't grab it, touch it, feel it. Now, I was touched, and I mentioned this on one of my previous shows, that when my husband and I got home from a trip, and I was probably no more than 15 minutes, I was lying there, and something brushed my arm, and then something touched, literally, like squeeze. So take your thumb and your finger and squeeze your earlobe. That's what it did. It touched my ear like that. And I thought, okay. And of course, I have night vision capability. So I went back and reviewed my footage. And sure enough, there it was, flying around the room. But was it paranormal or was it extraterrestrial? And what was it that touched me? And of course, it was trying to tell me, because I just told my husband, I said, I don't know, maybe it's just coming out of me. I have no idea what this stuff is flying around the room. Maybe we're expelling it from our bodies. I don't know. And bottom line is this. It wasn't because of what it was, but it was trying to tell me, hi, I'm here. Glad you're back. I'm here too. I came out of hiding, you know, missed you, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm on the search. I'm on the hunt to determine and find out what is potentially paranormal, what is extraterrestrial, and how you can tell the difference. As far as the normal question goes, a lot of times what I find is that when you talk to a skeptic, they will always lean it back in the direction of, well, maybe this was just something of a natural occurrence or, you know, caused by something else and it's being blamed or, you know, blamed to be paranormal. Well, I do find skeptics will go that route. I understand where your thinking is because you haven't had an experience, or maybe you did, but you discounted it, or you're a lot of logical thinking minded people really do gear and steer their ideas toward the fact that it's more scientifically conclusive when it comes down to something that can be explained. Well, science can't explain everything. And I think there's a lot of scientists that would agree to that, and they're still trying to figure it out themselves. And I'm excited about this conference because there's going to be a lot of researchers. There will be scientists, by the way, there, who have done this for years and in places that you would be surprised. And I'm an experiencer. I'm not going to take any credit for being a diehard investigator or someone who is a scientist or a researcher. These experiences come to me. That's the bottom line. I do seek them out when I am up to it and I'm interested in building my building a new chapter in my book. Oh, by the way, I'm starting to write book 11, but it's going to take about a year to get that one complete. But anytime I can have or add on an experience or something different to what I've experienced before, you know I'm going to talk about it. So, and just to let you know too, if I haven't mentioned it at least once, twice, or three times already, I will be going back to Las Vegas, but just flying there. My husband and I will be going to Sedona to check out some of these vortexes and some UFO watching. And we will be in Arizona as well, where we will be staying at the Jerome Grand Hotel. And I know that 9,000 people perished there. It used to be a hospital a long time ago, back in the day. And so apparently it's pretty haunted. And judging from some of the YouTube videos I've watched on it and people's experiences or what they're encountering, I just hope that what I encounter isn't like traumatic, but I can certainly handle something middle of the road. So that should be fun. But anyway, I pose the question to you as part of this segment. Is it normal? Is it paranormal? Or is it extraterrestrial? And as we get closer to some of those answers, I'll be more than happy to share my findings with you. Thanks for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. As usual, I will be having more either interviews, either of myself or with others coming up here shortly. And I think that as we move throughout the year, I hope to bring you some interesting topics, ideas, new thoughts, old thoughts, you name it, and keep this conversation going. Thank you so much. Take care of yourselves. And again, keep listening.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or ParaX Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, ParaX Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.